Well, welcome again, and Shabbat Shalom, and welcome to everybody in YouTube land and Facebook land and the far reaches of the galaxy. And so I know you didn't hear the music online, but you know, now that you know a little bit of Hebrew, when you get to heaven, you won't have culture shock, because when you hear the angels singing Kadosh, 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 you know they're saying the Holy, Holy, Holy from Isaiah 6. If you don't know that's Isaiah 6, I don't know what to tell you other than go home and read it. So anyway, little talk, it's probably going to be pretty short, is called Teachers. Because, you know, if you go back to Romans chapter 10, you don't have to turn to it, so I'm just going to mention it real quick. I can't remember, it's either verse 17 or 27, I think. It says, faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes from the word of God. How can they hear if no one is sent? How can we hear if no one is sent? Somebody has to tell you the news. Whether it's your parents at home or your aunt and your uncle or your cousin or your kid next door or somebody that convinces you to go to a church, somebody tells you the news. Paul makes that clear in that passage from Romans. The faith doesn't just come by osmosis. Somebody talks to you. Somebody tells you something. And so this is what leads to this talk called Teachers. Teachers is, everybody knows what a teacher is. In ancient times, a teacher was somebody who was very highly regarded by everybody, because there weren't that many educated people. Most people couldn't even read and write, let alone know much about history, art, whatever. So a teacher was somebody who was very highly respected. In fact, they commonly called them master. The Hebrews called them rabbis. That's why Yeshua, Jesus, was a rabbi, because he was a teacher. You know, after the temple was destroyed, the term rabbi became somebody who's in charge of a synagogue. But that was not what they were originally. The head of a synagogue was somebody called the head of the synagogue, who wasn't necessarily a priest, was not necessarily a rabbi, but it was somebody who organized things and did the teaching. And at Jesus's time, you can imagine if you were the pastor, so to speak, of the synagogue in Nazareth, and every Shabbat morning Joseph and Mary and little Jesus came in, you would say, oh, that's nice. They're here. They're here every Shabbat. Isn't that nice? And then when he got a little bit older, you started to think, boy, that kid is really smart. That kid really knows a lot. When he came forward to do a reading, everybody in the place was blown away and was left speechless for a few seconds. And then they wanted to kill him. Refer you to Luke chapter 4. You can read that for your homework too, the synagogue at Nazareth. So teachers were very important. In Greek, when the Romans conquered Greece, they were amazed at all the smart people who were teachers. And they took them all to Rome to teach their kids. The Greeks had a flourishing civilization long before the Romans came there. So they took these guys to Rome, and I don't know if there were women too, I'm not sure, but they took these teachers to Rome to tutor their kids, to set up schools. Paul talks about that even in Galatians, where he says the law was the first teacher that we had. We were pupils of the law. But now that we have grace and mercy, we don't need a teacher like we did before. But the law was the teacher that took us to the cross. The law was the teacher that took us to salvation. When we realized we can't follow the law, we're defective. I have such a huge problem that I can't correct it on my own. No one can correct their situation on their own. And so teachers were very, very highly respected. Whether they were rabbi, whether they were the Greek tutors, whether they were the Greek philosophers. And Yeshua wasn't the only rabbi who had followings. There were lots of men who had disciples and that went around the countryside teaching. John the Baptist had disciples. So teaching was an important thing. And so what happens when we get to the new covenant? Peter warns us. Well, Jesus warns us, Peter warns us, John warns us, Paul warns us. But let's take 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. Now, this is the same dopey Peter that couldn't put two sentences together before Pentecost. Now he writes this beautiful passage. Now, there were false prophets. You know, when you study the prophets, even in Torah, there were false teachers, and there were always rebellions. But the best example is Jeremiah. Jeremiah went around the city saying, destruction is coming from the north. You people have rebelled against God. He's going to destroy this place. He's going to destroy the city. He's going to destroy the temple. You guys better get with it. Destruction is coming from the north. Even told them it was going to be a very short time. And they said, Jeremiah, we want to hear good things. 21st century Christianity in America. We want to hear good things. We don't want to hear negative things. We want people to tell us everything is fine. We're okay. You're okay. Everybody's okay. Whatever you believe, it's great. You know, don't get all bent out of shape. We're not having any more of that fire and brimstone stuff like they used to do. Because we're cool now. Everybody's cool. They said to Jeremiah, we want to hear good news. Jeremiah says, I got no good news for you. This whole place is going to be trashed. That's what the Hebrew actually means. This whole place is going to be trashed. That's a little joke. But anyway, so false prophets came in. Said, don't listen to Jeremiah. He's nothing but a big party pooper. Look up there. There's the temple. Look, the priests are all here. Look, the scrolls are in there. Look, all the things are going on. You think God's going to destroy this place? Come on, this is his town. This is where he put his name. And then, not too many years later, he destroyed the whole place. And the people were exiled. There were false prophets. Now, Peter's warning that after he's gone, there's going to be false teachers that are going to come among you. They're going to come among you, and they're going to look good. They're going to look great. Some of them are very verbal, very charismatic, not charismatic and like our kind of charismatic, but, you know, they're going to have a bubbly personality. They're going to have a great preaching voice, and people are going to say, wow, that guy talks way better than Peter did. That guy talks way better than Paul. Paul was kind of a weirdo. This guy I like. Sounds like 21st century Christianity in America. Where's that church that says God wants me to be rich? Where do I sign up? Where's that church that says everything that goes wrong with me can be healed if I just believe that it can't? Where is that place? So false teachers are going to come, and they're going to secretly bring in teaching that even going to deny the Lord who bought them. Oh, you think God really cares about that stuff now? He did maybe 3,000 years ago. He doesn't care about that stuff now. Come on. Come on, Eve. Did God really say that? Yes. Well, but did he really mean that? I don't know. Well, let me tell you what he really meant. Oh, yeah. Give me that apple. And here we are, getting decrepit and sick and bald, and we have tornadoes and hurricanes because two people each took one bite of an apple. And we think God's going to overlook everything that people are doing now. I mean, we don't, but the general population does. But they're going to bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways because of because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. They'll blaspheme the truth, but many will follow it. The man who founded the Salvation Army, Booth, what was the first name? William? I think William Booth. Anyway, the founder of the Salvation Army, at the end of the 19th century, so the very late 1800s, said, in the 20th century, people will want Christianity without Christ, church without the Holy Spirit, and forgiveness without repentance. And boy, was he right. Oh, but God just wants you to be nice. He wants you to be nice to everybody. As long as you're nice, everything else is fine. Well, yes, he wants you to be nice, but that's not the gospel. You can't have church without the Holy Spirit guiding you in all truth, reminding you of what Yeshua said, living in you. Well, we don't want any of that kind of stuff. We want to come here. We want to hear some good music. We want to have the dry ice machine going, some flashing lights. We want some guy to give a sermon about how awesome everybody is and how great we all are. And we just go out there and do the best we can. 21st century American church. So Peter warned them. He warns the church about false teachers. People can be seduced by them. True teachers were always followed by false teachers. As soon as Paul left the town, a false teacher would come in and say, you know, I know Paul was just here. And I know what he's been teaching. Does that make any sense to all y'all? Come on. Think about that. Like Satan tempting Eve. Come on. Do you think God really means that? You mean to tell me that a few years ago they killed a man in the Roman colony of Palestine, and that has something to do with me? In 2024, you're witnessing to somebody and they say, you mean to tell me that because they executed a man 2,000 years ago, that has something to do with me? Yes, your whole eternal destiny depends on that. Oh, come on. Give me a break. You don't know what a great person I am. You don't know what a good person I am. I've never killed anybody. So people are seduced. They can be seduced. Now, false teachers deceive and distract. Some of them do it purposely. They make money at it. You can have a $10 million house. You can have a private jet. You can have more than one private jet. You can have limousines taking you around. Compare that we see to how Paul had to live, how Peter had to live, how all those guys were martyred in horrible ways because they were preaching the gospel. But we have people that say, hey, man, you know, I need a little more money because I need to fix up the jet. I need a little bit more money because I'm getting a new limousine because, hey, you know, I can't drive myself to the church. It's a totally different thing. They start to take people away from the truth. They look good. They look respectable. They sound very good. And everything they say has a kernel of truth in it. You know, if you come to Jesus, there will be blessing in your life. Well, of course there will, yes. You don't just get a little bit of Jesus into your life as like some positive thinking. He's the only mediator between God and man, 1 Timothy 2:5. He's the only mediator. He died for you. Like Peter said, you were bought by him. He goes on in 1 Peter, he says, you weren't bought with silver and gold, and you were bought with the blood of Christ. The Messiah shed his blood to buy you. The Hebrew word goel means he paid a ransom for you to get you out of jail. So these people look good. False teachers come and they have always have a kernel of truth like Satan had with Eve. Did God really say that? Well, yeah, but did he really mean that? You're not going to die. Come on, Eve. Have you seen anything dead around here? No. Well, you're not going to die either. So they always have large followings because they tell people good news. Because they talk to people who aren't familiar with the truth. If you don't know your scripture, if you don't know what the Christian church as a whole teaches, you can be easily seduced. Everything sounds good. We're going to get to some what Paul told Timothy. Hey, people want to hear what they want to hear. Just like, hey, Jeremiah, we don't want to hear this anymore. I'm not going to hell. If there is a hell, there's 15 people there. You know, there's Hitler there and a few degenerates and a couple of mass murderers. Everybody else is in heaven. So don't start with that. So people who aren't familiar with the truth, the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff always says, you should be so familiar with the truth that when a counterfeit rises, you immediately know. Rather than say, wow, that guy's got a good idea. That guy's got a great idea. They have a very pleasing message. And sometimes it's an exciting message. You know, the scripture, people read it and say, I don't get it. And then it's done. Because they won't put any effort into it. But they see some goof on TV wearing a suit and just got off the private jet, who says, hey, let me tell you, you go, wow, this guy makes a lot more sense than when I was trying to read Isaiah over there. Because I don't want to take the time to learn the truth. So I'll be deceived by whatever comes along. Remember how Jesus said, if you build your house on the rock, it stands. If you build it on the sand, every time there's a storm, your house falls over. Because you have no foundation. So true teachers, they want to bring people to salvation. They want people to understand the knowledge and the authority of scripture. And they work for the benefit and the blessing of everybody who's in the congregation. Right? That's what and the word pastor, of course, is the Latin word for sheep, for a shepherd. You're shepherding people. I mean, if there's 100 people in the church or there's 5,000 people in the church, the shepherd is supposed to be doing these things and taking care of them and blessing them and benefiting them and telling them the truth. The truth. Now, remember in John 21 when Jesus takes Peter aside and says, okay, do you love me? We're not going to go through all that, but, you know, we talked about that in various groups. Yeah, I love you, yeah. Okay, well, here's what you're going to do. People are going to tie you up, and they're going to take you where you don't want to go. He says, when you suffer for my name's sake, you should rejoice. He didn't say, Peter, you haven't made now. There's going to be a great mansion for you right outside of Rome. You're going to have chariots and horses. The underground church in Rome is going to pay you millions of whatever currency they had. You're going to have it made now, Peter says. No, they're going to tie you up. They're going to take you where you don't want to go. We won't go somewhere because our foot hurts. Imagine being tied up and taken. We won't go someplace because we're tired. Imagine being tied up and taken somewhere when you know you're going to die when you get there. But this is what a real teacher does. 1 John 4. Some of you may have taken the first, I don't know if any of you took the 1 John course on my new website or not, but 1 John 4:1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. John's writing this in the year probably 60 or 70. Yeah, he says there's already false teachers in the world, false prophets in the world. You know, all the heresies of the early church started right away. Oh, Jesus is a good man. Oh, Jesus is a really good man. And when he was 30, somehow God came down on him. Jesus is just God, and he had the illusion of being a man. Like, all these things went on and on and on. You have to know certain secrets that are in the Bible, certain secrets in the Old Testament in order to be saved. Some people are going to get it and some people aren't. All these heresies started right off the bat. John's talking about it even then. So he cautions these believers that there's other spirits out in the world. It's just not the Holy Spirit in the world working. There's lots of other spirits working. And they're all going to impact you. You ever been impacted by a demonic spirit? Probably more times than you know. You know when it's God talking. You know when the Holy Spirit's talking. And you know when a demonic spirit is talking based on what they tell you. Oh, come on, Bob, forget about that. Are you serious? Come on, Bob, why don't you just loosen up, have some fun? That's not the Holy Spirit when you hear that. But if you hear a little voice that says, pray more, sit and pray right now. Go talk to that guy over there right now. I want you to go over and talk to him right now. He says, discern the spirits, because there's other spirits in the world. There's other revelations. You know, in First Corinthians? Anyway, Paul says, Satan can come as an angel of light. Ooh. Look, this looks really good. Sounds really good. Yes, there's 58 different ways to go to heaven. Yes, of course, that makes a lot more sense, doesn't it? Than those narrow-minded nincompoops at your church. Come on. Get with it, man. Yeah. It's Satan and Eve all the time. Satan and Eve, Satan and Eve, Satan and Eve. So there's other revelations around. And Satan will always plan counterfeits. God is the author of life. Oh, no, no, it's a woman's choice. You can kill the baby anytime you want. Marriage is between one man and one woman. Oh, come on. Oh, come on. If two men want to get married, what's it to you? It's normal for them. Oh, yeah, well, I guess it's normal for them. If your little boy wants to be a little girl, hey, we have the technology. Why not take advantage of it? Yeah, why not take advantage of it? These are the spirits that are in the world. These are the counterfeits. We won't even get into the counterfeits. Oh, I got into some of them in churches. There's streams of Christianity now that are totally off the rail. And you have to be careful. So he says, test the spirits. Some teachers are misled. Some are being willfully deceitful, and some just don't understand what they're reading in the scripture, so they're teaching wrong stuff. Or they're putting their opinion into it. It's like now we have problems with kids that go to school, and it's not just public school. It's private schools, it's Catholic schools, it's religious schools, and there's teachers that try to orient them to some weird truth. And when you're a kid, you don't know. You can't test the spirits. And you say, oh, yeah, well, you know, in school they told us. Well, in school they told us that's not right what you're saying. So they're all over the place. And they mishandle the scripture because even in the religious schools, they say, well, that's the gospel. You have to be nice to everyone. What would Jesus do? Remember when that was all going around? That was my early days as a believer. What would Jesus do? Everybody had the little bracelets. And there was a thing going on Facebook. I don't know if you saw it, but it said, when somebody asked you, what would Jesus do? Then the next frame was Jesus with the cord, whip made out of cords, turning the tables over. Because you tell them that making a whip and turning tables over is one possibility. Oh, come on. That's a little bit funny. But it's true. We've made Jesus into a pacifist who never raises his voice, never does anything. Then obviously you've never read Matthew 23, you've never read John 2, and you've never read the accounts of the cleansing of the temple. This is 1 John 4 again. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. So he's talking about these false spirits are the spirits of the world. Remember in the old days they talked about the world, the flesh, and the devil. Paul talks about you're either with the flesh or you're with the spirit. All through Romans and Galatians, you're either with the flesh or you're with the spirit. The spirit and the flesh are always at war. The flesh has to be tamed. He says, the old me was crucified with Christ. It's not me who lives anymore. But yet, he says, the good things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, that's what I keep on doing. Wretched man that I am. And if you were there, you'd say, well, wait a minute. What do you mean wretched? You're like the best apostle. You're the best. Well, he knew he was wretched. So the other spirits are of, they speak as the world. What does the world want? Richness, power, lust, fulfillment of everything that the flesh likes, comfort. Why should I preach the gospel when I can lay on the couch and watch TV? I'm much more comfortable doing that. Wouldn't it be better to have, $2.5 million in my retirement account rather than $10,000 in my retirement account? Yeah, I got to do something. I got to get more money. I'm sick of eating this ordinary food. I want to eat like really exciting, rich food. That's what the flesh wants. So he says, they speak like the world and the world hears them. Eve heard Satan. He knows if you eat this, you'll be like he is. Oh, that'd be great. Adam and I can run things now. Why do we have to listen to him? I'll run my own life. I'm independent. I'll decide what I want to do. I'll decide how I want to live. That's how the world talks. Then he goes on to say, we are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. But this we know, the spirit of truth, and the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We're with God. We hear him, he hears us. We're talking to Ted, who isn't here tonight, about this book we've both been reading, about becoming a disciple, becoming an apprentice of Jesus is the term he likes to use, where he interviewed this guy who says, I look at Jesus, he looks at me, and we're both happy. That's the kind of faith you should strive to have, right? But if you're sitting there looking at Jesus saying, man, you got to start doing some more stuff for me. I got $10,000 in the bank, and I want to retire next year. How am I going to live up? You better start cranking it. That's not the Christian faith. Even if you have zero money, you still have to live the Christian faith. So we know the spirit of truth, and we know the spirit of error. Because he hears us, and we hear him. Jesus said, I can't remember the reference. I was going to put it in, and I forgot. He's talking to the Pharisees, and he says, why don't you understand my words? It's not meek and mild, Jesus. He says, why don't you guys understand what I'm saying? What's wrong with you? Then he says, the reason you don't understand it is that God's word is not in you. If God's word was in you, you would understand what I was saying. Religious leaders hate to hear that. You can imagine how much matter it made those guys. Yeah, you believe Moses. You say you believe Moses, but if you believed Moses, you'd believe me. So the true spirit lives in us. Jesus said, when you come to him, the Holy Spirit lives with you and in you. You can sit and read in one sitting, John 14, 15, and 16. So awesome. The Holy Spirit lives in us. So the false ones talk like the world, but the Holy Spirit lives in us. and says, no, what that guy's saying is not right. No, that's not the truth. That's a counterfeit. Well, we think there's 52 genders. There's two. There's two. Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's two. Oh, you're a bigot. Oh, you're a hater. Oh. So the false ones lead people to this world. And they emphasize what the world likes, as we just discussed. And they want to try to take you away from the truth with a capital T. Do you remember that morning of Good Friday when Jesus is in Pilate's in the Praetorium, and those creeps with all the long, beautiful robes on, who knew all of Torah, all of the scripture, all of the prophets, all of the writings, they couldn't cross over because they would defile themselves if they went on Pilate's stones there. But they didn't think anything of trying to kill a man. But that's, you know, we call rationalization. But those guys were worse to him than Pilate was. Pilate said, who are you? Where do you come from? What is truth? Pilate wanted to know. We ended up being a weenie at the end. But he treated Yeshua better than the religious leaders did. And Pilate certainly didn't have the word in him. So the world will love what's his own. Jesus says, you know, you're either with me or you're in the world. The world doesn't love you because it doesn't love me. We're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. The world loves what is its own. Look what happens to Christians on TV who dare say anything. Who dare say anything? And churches let these people come and talk in their church. I can assure you that no one's ever going to come here and speak who believes in abortion, same-sex marriage, and gender transitions. I mean, geez. But these people talk in churches all the time. Because there's no discernment. We want an easy Christian life. We want an inclusive plan. You know, I know the Jesus stuff. Yeah. You know, I was raised with all that stuff. But, you know, have you read so-and-so's book? Have you read so-and-so's book about the Eastern mysticism? You know, we think Jesus did Eastern mysticism. Yeah, you know, we go to the yoga class and we do. That's what the world likes. But you go on TV and talk about Jesus. What happens to you? That's the end of you. Uh-oh. So even the gospel could be distorted and changed. We've seen that happen in our time. Nobody even knows what the gospel is anymore. Well, you know, I'm working hard because, you know, if I keep working like this, you know, I want to get some more points on the scorecard. Because, you know, when I die, I don't want God to say, ah, man, you came up 2 points short. Oh. If you'd have just done one more thing, one more dollar to the building fund, that would have got you in. No. He's not going to say that at all. He says, you're either with me or you're against me. If you're not with me, you're against me. The gospel can be distorted. It can be changed. God is love. You notice how every secular person knows that verse. Well, God is love. Well, yes, of course he is. 1 John chapter 4. Of course he is. It's his nature. But he's also all just and he's all holy. The other verse they always know is, well, we're not supposed to judge. We're not supposed to judge. So they make you feel bad by they say, well, you know, God is loving, you're not supposed to judge. And most people will back away if you don't know the scriptures, right? Galatians 1:6, I love this. This is on my Roots and Foundations site too, if you want to take a fun Galatians course. Just go there and sign up. It's only $10,000. No, there's no charge for anything. I marvel that you are turning away so soon. So soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Paul was there in Galatia telling them the gospel. He left, and then he gets word like, hey, people are falling away already because Joe Blow's teaching and Alice over there is teaching, and I can't believe how soon you fell away. You're not talking about grace anymore. You're in a different gospel now. Like he, in this same book, you know, he condemns the Judaizers. Well, you Gentiles, if you want to follow Yeshua, the Jewish Messiah, that's great. But first, here's the law. So you just bone up on this. There's only 613. You know, if you don't have a copy, you can look it up online, print it out. Oh, come on, that's a little bit funny. You know, once you get into the law of Moses, once you learn these laws, then come back and you can follow the Messiah. Paul says, no, 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 absolutely not. Because we're saved by grace and not by the law. Then he goes on, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Here's the gospel. He gave himself for your sin. He who knew no sin became sin, so that we might have the righteousness of God in him. What verse is that? Remember, I tell you, if you only want to learn one verse, that's the one. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin became sin, so that we can get the righteousness of God. He took your sin on and died, so you can be righteous. Are you righteous? Not in a million years. But this is the gospel. This is the plan of salvation from beginning to end. And Paul says, glory forever and ever. Because Paul says, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this? Then he says, Jesus did. And he kind of goes, ah, how awesome. Then he does another prayer, another doxology. I can't remember how it goes. But anyway, this is the gospel. 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, when? Latter times. When? Latter times. Some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. They teach the doctrine of demons. Their conscience is gone. Their conscience is cooked. Their conscience doesn't even react. Remember when we were growing up, that your parents always said, well, your conscience is going to bother you. And it should. If you steal your little friend's candy bar, your conscience would say, you know, you shouldn't have done that. And you'll say, yeah, you know, I shouldn't have done that. Well, too bad for him. But he says they're going to be doing hypocrisy and their conscience is going to be seared. They're not even going to be bothered by it. In the latter times, they'll depart from the faith. Boy, have we seen that happen over the last 20 years, 30 years tops. You know, there's about 200 churches in Scotland, as we speak, that are up for sale. Because nobody goes there anymore. There are more mosques in England than there are Anglican churches. Can you imagine? And not to leave the Catholics out. Last year in all of Ireland, now, what was a more Catholic country than Ireland? In all of Ireland, there were 3 priests ordained in the entire country. You know how many priests were ordained in New York City? 0. 15 million people live in there. Not one man ordained. Spain? Oh, the Inquisition. We want to kill the Jews. We want to kill the Protestants. We want to kill the we want to kill everybody who's not Catholic. We want to just kill everybody. They have unlimited abortion now to all stages. They have same-sex marriage. In not too long, when we started going to Mexico in the mid-90s, it was almost impossible to get a divorce in Mexico. Now it's unlimited. There was no abortion. Now it's unlimited. These things are expected, Paul says. In the latter times, these things are going to happen. This is revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. There's going to be a general apostasy, and people are going to just believe the seducing spirits. That should be seducing, not deducing. You have to deduce that they're seducing you, but oh, come on, that's pretty funny. Then he goes on to say that after this happens, then the man of sin will be revealed, the son of perdition. So Antichrist is right around the corner, right around the corner. He calls these people emissaries of Satan. He tells Timothy, these people are emissaries of Satan. You know, Satan sends people out to preach too. Like I always say, the culture is always evangelizing. You want to teach your kids, you want to evangelize your kids, the culture is always evangelizing them. 2 Thessalonians. This is chapter 2, verse, let no one deceive you by any means. For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. He tells Timothy, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. People get teachers that tell them what they want to hear. We don't want to hear about blood and crosses, and we don't want to hear about sin. We want to hear good things. Why can't you tell me something good? Hey, I can tell you something good. Well, what is it? God wants you to be rich. Oh, wait. I'm quitting this church, Pastor. I'm going to this one. Where do I sign up? They have itching ears. They heap up teachers. They don't get one or two. They heap them up. And these people are also in the church. Don't kid yourself. These people are in churches, too. They're not just out in the fringes of the galaxy. They're in the churches. Google what's happening in with the Anglican Church, the Catholic Church, the Methodist Church. It'll curl your hair. Read stuff coming out of the Vatican. You'll want to turn your computer off. Read stuff what the Methodists are doing. You can't even believe it. The Anglicans want to get rid of the Lord's Prayer because it starts with Our Father, and that's sexist. They don't want to use the word church because that has too much baggage. People are uncomfortable. We want to call it, you know, fellowship or community or something cute. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. So preach all what he said before, rebuke and preach and teach and all those things. And everybody knows James 3:1, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that you shall receive a stricter judgment. Can you imagine if you're somebody who's taking thousands and tens of thousands or millions of people down a wrong track? What your judgment's going to be? So we should be learning and we should be teaching. Paul tells Timothy, you're going to be a teacher. You have to learn everything first. Then you have to learn it again. You have to go over and over it again. He didn't have TV and comfortable couches and all the stuff we have, and certainly not all the distractions that we have. You got to learn the faith. You got to learn what's in the scripture. And you go over and over it again because that makes you a better teacher. And you can be humble because you've learned it. And you teach with authority because the word has authority. Remember when Jesus spoke and people said, you know, he doesn't have authority like the Pharisees and the scribes. Where does he get this? He's never even gone to school. You teach with authority. The Greek means that you're a master, you're an instructor. So the word you preach has authority. You preach false word, it doesn't have authority. Right? When you preach a true word, it has authority because it's living and it's breathing. So you want to be a teacher. You have to study and learn. And it says in 1 Peter 3:15, you're always ready to give an explanation for the hope that lies within you. So if you're waiting in line at Panera's to get coffee and somebody says to you, why are you happy all the time? Say, oh, you want me to tell you? I used to get held up a lot at hospitals or nursing homes because somebody would say, why are you always so happy? And I'd say, oh, you really want to know? Then I'd sit and preach to them for 15, 20 minutes. Joan always used to tell me if I did less preaching, I'd get home earlier. But so, teachers, masters, truth, not seducing spirits, not lies and falsehood. Because the word has power. Nobody cares anymore. Nobody cares anymore. And I say that boldly. No one cares. It's living and it's breathing, 2 Timothy 3:16, but nobody cares. We want to sing some songs. We want to see the dry eyes. We want to see the lights. We want somebody to pat us on the head. We want to high-five Jesus. And then we go on with our life. So, I want to emphasize rootsandfoundations.org. There's, I think, 6 Bible studies on there now. Soon to be more. I just have to do all the editing and stuff. Maybe we'll do another Zoom one. And the other 2 old websites. 2 podcasts and, you know, the YouTube channel. So you can always watch the YouTube because these teachings, the teachings from Messianic Lamb Network that I do are on there and miscellaneous other stuff. And all.